Young got his nickname from Billie Holiday. It was Young who gave Billie her famous Lady Day moniker. She returned the favor, dubbing him Prez, as in the president of all saxophonists. And you'll get no argument from us. This episode was written in part by Syracuse University student Brent Kelly as part of the Soundbeat Class Partnership Project. To learn more about the program, visit soundbeat.org. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Library. I'm Brett Barry.
Merry Christmas!
You're listening to the voice of Maui, KAKU 88.5 FM. It's time to pound the poi on the local show, KAKU FM Kahului Maui, the voice of Maui.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding and a cup of good cheer. We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. So bring some out here. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas from the local show, KAKU 88.5 FM, the voice of Maui. You hearing me, Brother Tony Midnight, and Brother Jaron in the co-pilot seat today for the Thursday Afternoon Frights Christmas special. I'll be replaying this one on Christmas Day.
Yes.
This is Wednesday. I'm not here.
Yeah.
I'm not here Christmas Day. Yeah. We're off that day.
We're off.
We're taking a break. We got to help cook the turkey and the hams and the yams and the pies and the whatever. Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah, with my luck, it's probably like the last day off for me till next year.
Oh, gosh. You've been working through the new year?
I am. So I'll let you know if I'm available on the 26th.
It's okay. We can do a replay. No problem. We'll do a replay. Or I'll just come on the air and talk about... fireworks.
Yes.
Knock it off. You're driving my dogs nuts.
Dude, they've been going off pretty crazy this year. Not like since Thanksgiving, actually.
What was yesterday? It's Wednesday. It was hump day. So hump they lit up fireworks for hump day.
Oh my.
I'm at home. I'm in the back. I'm having a smoke. I'm watching Inside. We'll get to that later.
Yes.
And I was outside watching Inside.
I was inside.
And I'm outside. And all I hear is pa, 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 pa. My dog. Oh my God.
I like to put on a Michael Bay movie during New Year's Eve because it seems like I'm having a surround sound.
Right? Like in the middle of a Transformer battle. Yeah. Like this, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So today on afternoon, Thursday afternoon frights, we are going to be talking about some Christmas horror movies. You're going to be talking about a Marvel movie just released out.
Yes.
First off, real quick show and tell. The only Black Friday film that I purchased from Amazon is Cherry Falls.
Nice.
I didn't get to showcase this one in my last YouTube video. So here it is, Cherry Falls.
Nice.
Pick that one up. But the one that I am very excited for, and I texted you last night. I was like, the one Christmas horror movie that I was... Well, I didn't even say that. I just said the one Blu-ray that I promised I would purchase once it came out.
I know. I saw that this morning. I was like, wait. I forgot to message him back. And I was like, what is it?
I just got the Blu-ray. I didn't get the special edition. Yeah. But it's the greatest Christmas movie of 2024.
There you go.
And I know. You guessed it. You guessed it right. Terrifier 3
Yes.
I just bought it last night, so I didn't get a chance to watch it yet. So, but definitely, I'm showcasing this, and hopefully next week, Thursday, if you're available next Thursday,
yeah,
after your Christmas holiday.
I want to hear your thoughts. I want to know your favorite kill.
Terrifier. Yeah.
And I love that. I love that art cover the best too. They put both.
It should have been that. Whatever. Yeah.
Actually, it's the opposite when you buy the, you know, when you buy the 4K, it's opposite. It's the lenticular cover. I'm not sure if you saw it, but it's a lenticular with the inside art and reverse.
Why you show them in the back there? Santa art, everybody. So yeah.
Oh, you're gonna love how he gets it.
It's a holiday movie classic in the making right here.
Yeah.
Tell you what.
For those of you who only digital only, it's mm-hmm. available on Fandango at home.
It's out there already. It's out there to check out. Before we get into the movies, I have recently, I don't know, are you caught up on all the latest movie trailers that have been dropping so far?
Yeah.
One in particular that I just watched this morning. I'm intrigued. So you're going to talk about Kraven.
Okay. Yeah.
That's Marvel.
Let's talk superheroes.
DC, James Gunn, trailer drop. I'm watching it. And have you seen it yet?
Superman, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So he's in the snow. He's busted up. I'm like, oh no, what happened? Oh, somebody must have busted him up in kryptonite or something like that. And here we go. We got, oh my God, Superman's dog shows up. And I'm like, yes. Forget this.
Crypto.
Crypto. Is he played by like The Rock in the animated feature?
Or was
it Kevin Hart? I don't know. Kevin Hart was in that one. No.
Oh.
I think it's The Rock.
Yeah,
I think it was The Rock.
No, Kevin Hart was somebody else.
I think Kevin Hart ended up being like Batman's dog or something.
Yeah. And then Batman was Keanu Reeves.
That's right, Keanu Reeves, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Dwayne Johnson was the dog, and then John Krasinski was the owner, I believe.
The only time John Krasinski played Superman.
Yeah, the only time.
The only time.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll never get a John Krasinski like live action Superman, but I'm not familiar with this actor that is playing Superman right now.
What? No. We talked about this.
We did?
Yes.
Where's she from?
Pearl.
Pearl. Watched. Okay.
You haven't seen Pearl.
Only X.
Oh my.
You guys told me only watch X and then watch Maxine.
Yeah, but you didn't have time to watch Pearl.
I didn't have time to watch Pearl yet,
the projectionist in Pearl, the one that she sort of gets fancy with.
Fancy.
That is our Kal-El.
That is our
Superman.
God, that's our Clark Kent.
And he has a small role in Twisters.
I haven't seen that one yet either.
You haven't seen that?
No. We lost a subscription to Max. Yeah.
Well, David Corn Sweat? Am I saying that right?
Corn Sweat?
It'd be so fitting, right? If his name was Corn Sweat, because he's a farm boy.
Okay. Nicholas Holt is playing Lex Luthor.
He looks good,
He
man.
Looks pretty good.
He looks good.
And then, I don't know the actress name. I know she's from, is it the
Rachel
Hulu?
Bronson?
Is it the Hulu
Brosnahan
show? The Fabulous Miss Maisel or something like that? Like,
you got it.
A comedian,
That's the one.
Yeah. So I recognize her from that because she also did like SNL skits and... Yeah. She hosted SNL one time. I was like, who is that actress? And everybody was telling me about that show. But yeah, no, DC Superman drop. It looks crazy. We got a whole bunch of other superheroes that are going to be showing up.
Here, maybe, you say his name.
Who's this? David Corn Sweat. Corn Sweat.
Yeah.
If I ever meet the guy in real life, I'll be like, hey, Corn Sweat, what's up, man? Yo, you was awesome as Superman, dude.
Yo.
What's it like working with James Gunn?
James Gunn. And the bowl cut Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, right?
Wow, that was weird. That was weird, man.
Is he's Hawkman, right? I think he's playing Hawkman.
No, Nathan Fillion is the Green Lantern.
Oh, wait, what? No.
Guy Gardner is the name.
Oh, my God.
He has the bowl cut. You didn't see it? Because like in the trailer, he has the ring.
Yeah, I got to be watching
it. And it goes
it,
off.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you got Isabella Merced is going to be Hawk Girl.
So this one is kind of laying the framework for...
This is the new DC.
James Gunn's DC universe,
yes.
Which I hope, I'm guessing with this Superman movie, it's going to lead into probably a new Justice League.
Yeah.
Maybe a Justice Society or something like that.
So, yeah, this is going to be a new build. And what I like about this is that we're kind of... in the world that Superman, that we're establishing in Superman, is that mm-hmm. we're already in a world of heroes. Mm-hmm. But some of those heroes are kind of like, how do I say? Kind of like The Boys, where mm-hmm. some of those heroes don't, like, they kind of do it for the gram, they do it for the mm-hmm. social media. Mm-hmm. They don't really know how to be, you know, solid heroes. And so here comes Superman into the mix, where he wants to show that these guys need to be better.
Okay.
You know, that these guys need to be better than what society has only just looked upon them. Superman is the symbol mm-hmm. of that hope of, you know, that superheroism. So it's kind of taking like that old school approach into the new age.
I'm stoked, dude.
Yeah. So that's
I'm
what
stoked.
He's
I can't wait for this one to come out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll be on Max too, because I guess Max is everything DC.
Yeah.
Maybe they might be open for the new universe, with DC universe.
Yeah.
But.
I think Peacekeeper and I feel like his other projects, I feel like Peacekeeper is definitely mm-hmm. staying canon because okay. John Cena didn't go anywhere.
No Peacemaker. That's okay. That's all right. We'll see what they come up with for this new DC universe that's being created right before our very eyes. The other trailer that I recently watched is I have not finished this. I'm waiting for the final installments of Cobra Kai so I can binge the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
But I am very intrigued in the trailer that's just dropped for Karate Kid Legends.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan, Ralph Macchio, you got a
and
new kid.
Ben Wang, introducing.
Ben Wang, new kid on the block.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks interesting. I want to see what the story arc is going to be for that one, because it seems, they make it, from the trailer, it looks like Jackie Chan is somewhat, like, well, somewhat familiar and or maybe... maybe not a pupil, but maybe a person that knew Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
You know?
So he still is reprising his role from the remake.
Yeah.
From the reimagining, which is Mr. Han.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I'm not sure how they're going to tie that all in. So he's teaching, and then he mm-hmm. comes across a student. And not only does he want to rely on his own skills, but mm-hmm. he searches for the, you know, the original pupil of Mr. Miyagi, which is... Mm-hmm. played by Ralph Macchio.
I wonder if it's going to be like let's combine Miyagi-Do Karate and my Kung Fu to make
I feel like that's what we're going to get.
Because
I feel like this kid is already know how to fight, but this kid is also going to get some new lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Seems like there's always like that.
Yeah.
It from watching the trailer, I'm like, okay, this is going to be like a harken back to like old school kung fu movies where like, oh, we got to combine skills, the tiger crane to take on the evil doer or whatever like that.
Yeah, it's like what they said in the trailer. It's like one tree, two branches, you know, two branches, one tree.
Interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, I saw that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one, the last trailer we're going to talk about, because I'm very intrigued in this one. And the trailer, from what I saw, is just all over the place. It's Jenna Ortega and Paul Rudd. And Death of a Unicorn
by A24.
Everybody, they're tackling unicorns now. It seems like more like a mutant kind of type of unicorn, like your basic white horse with the horns and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're saying it's a horror comedy, but like you said, it feels everywhere.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I recognize some of the other faces from other
Tay Leone, Will Poulter, Richard E. Grant.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like a fun cast, but I don't know. I don't know how the general audience is going to appeal to this, because it feels like an indie story with a bunch of big actors.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's A24 for you.
All right. So now I am going to start off with movie review time. And let me get this. I didn't get a chance for set up before the show.
Whoa, that's got an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes, man.
Woo.
That's solid.
Very good. That means it's a very good horror movies to watch. And the movie I'm going to be talking about, we're going with the Christmas horror, Christmas horror, 25 days of horror that I'm doing, 25 days of Christmas horror. I completely forgot that this film takes place on Christmas Eve, so it basically is a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie I'm talking about is called Inside, from 2007, a movie that I have just never, like, I would talk about it. I would talk about, oh, I know I've seen that scene, but I never watched the whole thing kind of deal. Like, yeah. I heard good things. I know that there was, like, there was an American remake, too, right?
There was.
Why do you gotta remake everything? Martyrs, yeah. Remake, Inside. Okay, I'm not gonna watch
TV. I know, it was starring that one girl, the one that was in P2.
Oh, okay.
Rachel something.
Yeah. She's also in
Amityville Horror remake, G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe. Yeah. I'm thinking G.I. Joe because she was like Lady Jane or something like that, right?
Yeah. Well, the first one.
The first one, not the second one. No. The second one was somebody else.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's Inside, 2007 French slasher film. French. It's in French. I didn't watch the dub version or whatever. I needed to read the subtitles for this movie. And it's the story of a woman that, well, we're introduced to the beginning. The beginning of the film is car accident, husband and wife. Wife is pregnant. Husband is just, it progresses from there. You find out, okay, he died. So this woman is pregnant alone on Christmas. She's like, F Christmas. Just come by and pick me up tomorrow. I'm getting ready to pop this bugger out.
She wants her husband. She doesn't want to have a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. And somehow, Christmas Eve, all by herself, a mysterious woman shows up at her door. Very, very, like, the Strangers. Very Strangers-esque kind of deal going on. Very strange. I mean, The Strangers was based on a French movie already.
Yeah,
because it's, them is their kind of the original version of Strangers,
and that's why, like, you know, when it comes down to like home invasion movies, this movie I hold at a very high bar. This movie actually was my scariest movie for me for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So when The Strangers came out, and I know that's only like a year difference, but The Strangers didn't do anything for me. When you compare it to a movie like this,
you tell the truth. Yeah. When I watched it in theaters the first time, the Strangers.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel the same way.
It's an all right horror movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this movie, though, oh my gosh. After I finished watching this movie, I was like, good grief. So to our listeners and watchers out there, if you're an avid horror movie fan and you can, tolerate extreme violence. The French did it best for some reason in the late early 2000s.
Yeah,
because they had High Tension, Frontiers, which I watched too. Yeah. It's a crazy French horror film.
I like the Frontiers.
Yeah, Frontiers was awesome.
Yeah. And I like Inside better though.
Yeah, Martyrs as well.
Yeah.
They really. Banged on the kind of like, well,
they pushed the limits.
They pushed
man.
The limit of horror and gore and violence, and this one, it's jam packed with it.
Yeah,
it's jam packed. It's not your basic like, okay, there's a lot of dismemberment and stuff like that. There's a lot of like surface, like mutilation happening in here. Mm-hmm. You have impalements. You got jugular veins. You got blood shooting all over the place. You're not gonna get like a arm being chopped off. But generally, the level of violence in this movie.
Yeah.
In one house.
Yeah.
Usually when you think of a slasher horror movie, like, you know, oh, it's going to be, it's, the kills are going to be sporadically throughout the whole movie. Not this one. It's one woman terrorizing a pregnant woman in one apartment, and then you have just an array of characters that show up and
get totally messed up.
I'm not gonna say what, and her boss. I thought Terrifier 2 was bad.
Where he gets it? Yeah. Did you cringe up a little bit in your own areas?
I was like,
in your special areas. Did you feel so just violated?
I was completely frightened to the core. I
felt bad for the pregnant lady, man. You know how much blood trauma and force she's so much things going up against her. She is just covered in blood by the end of this one.
And basically, you know, you have it's suspense after suspense because you never know, like, okay, she's gonna get away. Mm-hmm. She's gonna get away. There's always like, and that's what makes it a good horror movie, because you always have that instances where you're like, oh, she's probably gonna get away. She's gonna, or she's probably gonna kill this woman, mm-hmm. and get away. But you just see every scene, like, just get totally destroyed. You know, it's like, oh, this hope is like, no, there's no hope. And it's one of those no hope type horror movies.
Yeah, it's not a fun one. It's not a fun one. It's very dreadful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then at the end, I was like, oh, good grief. But at the same time, like, you get the horror geek feeling. It's like, oh, that was kind
of
good.
The final 5 minutes of that movie really put me in a sour mood. I'm not going to lie. Like, you gotta wash that whole mood down with another good movie after
Phenomenally
that.
Creepy. No, you know what I did? After that, I watched Scrooge.
Yeah, you have to have a chaser for this movie.
Like, you know, let me tell you, I'll watch the Alice Sim 1951 Scrooge, or one of them black and white movies, or Christmas stuff. You know, I fall asleep listening to classical music. Everybody, that's my ASMR. Thank you very much. That calms me down. A little Mozart, a little Chopin, or whatever. Whatever, Sebastian Bach. Oh no, wait, that's the lead singer of the. Skid Row, that's right. Different Bach I'm thinking of. But no, yeah, the inside, man. Wow. This is one of the most intense horror movies that I think I'm going to... Well, I haven't watched Terrifier 3 yet. That's the thing.
No, you haven't. But at least Terrifier 3, I know you're going to get some laughter out of it.
I know, that's for sure. Laughter. This one was just completely dark and serious.
So dark.
So dark and twisted. You watch this woman basically like this is what a psychotic breakdown looks like.
Yeah, this is the crash out is what the kids are calling it these days. Yeah.
And then when you get to why she's like this, you're like, oh no, I'm not gonna say anything.
Right, there's a little bit of a twist.
A little bit of a reveal. If you're interested in watching a very bloody and violent Christmas movie. Yeah.
And that final frame, man, where the whole thing gets the whole screen just turns tinted red. Oh, haunting.
Merry Christmas. That's the one part that's Christmas. There's no Christmas in this house because she's mad at the whole world about what happened. You know? She's like, she lost her husband. This house already is void of anything Christmassy. At the end, it's like, oh, I know.
She's like smoking. She's smoking while being pregnant and everything, man. She's just not in a good place.
The French are different. They're a different breed. They're a different breed of people.
Yeah. The special effects, man. I swear, I could not look at the main character with her whole lip just torn up by that shears of scissors.
Mm-hmm. You can give away that one.
Yeah.
I mean, at the beginning, her face was already messed up, and you can see the scars afterwards. Yeah. You're like, you know, it's almost like, oh, those wounds are reopened now.
Yeah.
But what led up to that?
Yeah.
That.
I mean,
that
it gets worse. Cut. Yeah, but like,
No, it didn't start with the lip, though.
Yeah.
because it started at the point where you're like, I'm a horror geek, everybody. I love horror movies, but then there's scenes where you did. It's rare that I would watch something where I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No. Like, one instance, like, where the scissor goes.
Mm-hmm.
Where the scissor starts, that leads up to the first fight of her life in the movie. No way. But anyways, Inside. Yeah. That was my day 18.
Yeah.
Horror movie watch. Up to then, I was just watching, like, the cheesiest horror movies. Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, 3, 4. I haven't watched 5 yet. I don't even know if I want to watch 5. But 5 is enjoyable. If you've seen all of the Silent Night, Deadly Night movies.
Whoa, wait. You're telling me there's more than 3?
Yeah.
I know that. I did not know that.
You did? You remember Walmart had, like, 2 Christmases ago, was released special edition Blu-ray on Vestron. And it was Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2, 3, 3, 4, and 5.
Wow.
I didn't get a chance to pick that up.
Oh, okay.
I have Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 1 and 2 from you on the DVD. And I was like, oh, I saw that. I never got a chance to pick that up. So I'm scouring the internet to find me a Blu-ray copy of that one. Yeah, the Vestron classic releases. So they did the same thing with The Dentist. So Dentist 1 and 2. Right. And then Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 3, 4, and 5. Kind of like how they did with Jaws.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because like the DVD, like for the longest time in the $5 bin, it's like, oh, what is this? Jaws 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
The other sequels.
Yeah. Now they all got 4Ks.
They all got 4Ks now. I don't think I want to bother with Jaws, Blu-rays, and 4Ks. I think I'll just stick to the DVDs.
Yeah.
I got three and four ready to go.
Yeah. No. Just upgrade the ones that matter.
Upgrade the ones that matter. I'll stick with DVD when it comes to Jaws, but when it comes to like maybe like Meg or something like that, I'll pick up a 4K one. Anyways, let's get into the Marvel right now. You recently watched Kraven the Hunter.
I did.
A character that is within the Sony Spider-Man
the
universe.
Spider-Man-less Sony.
Spider-Man-less. Is this one supposed to tie in with No Way Home?
Okay.
Because I remember the scene where, like, you know, the portals are opening and all of the villains at the end of No Way Home are like slowly like creeping through, and all 3 Spider-Men cannot handle all of that, right?
I'm gonna tell you this much, man. For another movie in the Sonyverse, the fact that it does not connect to Spider-Man at all, is very disappointing. And that's just that's just the thing, is that we've been waiting for a very long time to watch these side characters finally come into contact with a Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Heck, they even talked about Andrew Garfield being the canonical mm-hmm. Spider-Man for this whole Sonyverse.
Mm-hmm.
But we never get that. And hoping that this movie was going to change that, considering Madame Web, Morbius, and even Venom 3 coming out over the last few years, it's just, it's nothing. This is Sony trying to make money off of Spider-Man fans, you know, claiming that you guys are, that we are suckers, you know, because they think they could get away with that just because they're like, hey, let's take a character from the universe and have his own movie.
Well, Kraven does have his own comics, but it's still incorporated Spider-Man.
Right.
That's the thing.
Right.
Yeah. Or other Marvel superheroes.
Yeah. And I don't know too much about Kraven's backstory.
Me neither.
But going into this, right, because am I to believe that Kraven doesn't have any powers, right? He's just really good at being a hunter, or is he some kind of powers?
I got a feeling like Kraven was supposed to be like a like the Punisher of the wilderness.
Okay. That's what I thought.
But from the trailer,
they give him powers.
He's jumping
around. Yeah. He gets killed by a lion.
I'm a tiger.
In a little bit, and he gets killed by a lion. A little bit of the lion's blood goes inside of his wound, and then
he reincarnates. Well, he
drinks some gypsy potion, and then he comes back to life. And he can move like an animal. He can do things like an animal. But he loves animals so much that he hates his father, played by Russell Crowe.
Oh, great.
And so now they take this character, Kraven the Hunter, you know, they take this character and he likes to go after criminals. He goes after drug dealers, poachers, any kind of criminals in an organization.
Sounds like Punisher.
Yeah, that's the Punisher. Exactly. That is the Punisher. And so why is he doing these things? And I'm not going to lie. This is Aaron Taylor Johnson. Mm-hmm. This is the guy who played Kick-Ass. He played Quicksilver in Avengers Age of Ultron. He is likable. He is a likable actor, and his performance is very charming, very charismatic. And he's so good in it that it makes you upset because you're like, I'm watching this for Aaron Taylor Johnson. I'm not watching this for Kraven the Hunter because this is barely Kraven the Hunter. His dad, Kurt Russell's demeanor, him being such a menace, he is more of a Kraven-like character than Kraven the Hunter. And it's kind of sad when you think about it because this is a character that's supposed to be a villain of Spider-Man and he's still fighting bad guys. And they introduce some really, really strange characters, and they're not even blatant, like they're not subtle with their references at all.
Oh, God.
So you have Alessandro Nivola. A lot of you may know him from Jurassic Park 3 or the I remake with Jessica Alba.
Okay,
he is the Rhino, and he plays the Rhino, and he is so out there. He's very schlocky. He's very very colorful, and he's having fun with the role because he knows it's silly.
There's only one Rhino, and that's Paul Giamatti.
Okay. So, yeah, Alessandro Nivola, unlike Paul Giamatti being in a mechanical suit, Alessandro Nivola does transform into a Rhino. The CGI is
great.
Bad. Yeah, he does transform into a Rhino, but he's really, it's kind of bad CGI. And the way he goes about, it's funny because even before he transforms into the Rhino, he is riding a car that has a license plate that says Rhino. He likes to tell people he's the Rhino. And is just like, he's just playing
Hello,
it up.
I'm the Rhino.
Hello, I'm the Rhino. Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm the Rhino.
You see my license plate?
Yeah. You see my license plate?
Guess what? I can transform into a Rhino.
And then Christopher Abbott, he plays a character named the Foreigner. Now, I read up that the Foreigner is not supposed to have powers. He's more of an illusionist or like some kind of psychosis type of thing. But this man has powers. He has powers. And so every single time, you could literally cut his character out and he would not affect the movie. He literally shows up. And to distract his opponents or to distract people, he would just start going, 1, 2, 3. Like he starts counting to 3. But it does this little echo, auto-tune type of thing. And he like, and it looks like he's moving super fast when it's really just to distract the guys. And then he just like makes a quick move on them and does it. But I couldn't stop laughing. At every scene he was in, he had to pull his little trick and he starts the scene off with 1, 2, 3.
So this is a return to cheesy comic book, like cheesy comic book.
This feels like the cheesy, the cheesy Marvel movies you would get back in the early 2000s.
Exactly. Yeah. Better than Madam Web, though?
Yes. You know, a lot of people on the internet have been saying that this is worse than Madam Web. But because this movie is rated R, and the violence is actually pretty entertaining, the action is pretty entertaining, the story, the dialogue, they're atrocious. But I had so much more fun watching Kraven the Hunter than having a headache over Madam Web.
So basically, if there was no Marvel connection at all, you would just think it's a fun fantasy action film.
Yeah, if you showed this movie to some random person who didn't know anything about comic book movies at all, you'd have fun. Like if you know nothing, just nothing about Kraven the Hunter, because nothing about Kraven the Hunt, about this movie, nothing about this adaptation is remotely accurate or just, you know, trying to stay canonical or true to its original source material at all. This just feels like you're watching Aaron Taylor Johnson kick some butt. And I was satisfied to just be like, okay, I'm having fun with this, but it's just not great. It's not good.
I'll wait for 28 years later. Thank you very much. I'll wait for 20 years later.
Yeah.
I'll wait for that Aaron Taylor Johnson movie. Definitely.
But no, it's not something you got to rush out to the theaters to watch. You're not missing out if you decide to skip this out. But compared to Venom 3, compared to Madam Web, I like this. I like this. Could it have been much, much better? Oh, yeah. But you're not missing out if you decide to skip this one.
That's interesting.
That's it. Yeah.
There you go.
There's no end credits. And I think the fact that they try to connect this to Spider-Man was kind of funny, because the illusionist, the foreigner, he tries to like give him this like little hallucinatory like little agent. And then he's like, it will give you your deepest, darkest fears. Guess what comes out? Spiders.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, wow. The hunter is afraid of spiders. So you're telling me if we do get Spider-Man, like we're ever gonna...
He's gonna be afraid.
Yeah. He's gonna look at the TV news, see Spider-Man, and he's gonna feel triggered.
All because of microdosing.
Accurate.
All because of microdosing.
No, and so far, Sony didn't make any money from this.
That's a Scarecrow villain.
That is a Scarecrow villain.
He microdosed everybody, and they all start freaking out. It's a bad trip.
Yeah.
There you go,
and
man.
He's like the Scarecrow, except he wears cashmere.
Oh, my God. Gen Z superheroes, man. They're crazy. Yeah. Oh, my God.
But, Sony is putting the lockdown on this Sonyverse for quite some time. They're going to focus on Spider-Man more.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness. You guys tried, and you failed to give us more Tom Holland.
Exactly.
He is. He's had a good break. He's ready to come back, right? Isn't he working on something? Isn't there like a pre-production thing going on?
He's definitely in production for Spider-Man 4 now. Mm-hmm. He's definitely got a lot more projects. I know he took a lot. Mm-hmm. He took some time off, so he could spend time with Zendaya.
I wonder if Zendaya's returning too for this film. And what's that dude's name? The Filipino boy. His best friend, the Filipino.
Oh, Jacob. Yeah. I forgot his last name.
He was supposed to be slated to become later on Hobgoblin.
I hope not. I don't want that to happen.
Right. People are thinking, but again, no. You're feeding off of No Way Home, so...
Let's save that for...
Everything reverse. Yeah. But I wonder if he finds his like power again. Like, oh, wait, I can do the Doctor Strange magic stuff again. Yeah.
No, but let's save that for Harry Osborn, not Ned.
Okay.
Ned's not even a real character. I appreciate the Filipino boy, but I don't want to see him go dark.
It's good to see the Filipino culture being brought into the Marvel fold. So he had Indian culture already too. So not Indian, sorry. I don't know. Who is Miss Marvel again? What is something else? I don't want to get into it. Okay, so you got to talk about a movie that people might probably forgot that it does take place during Christmas time.
Yeah,
it does take place during the holidays, and it's The Conjuring 2.
The Conjuring 2 is a Christmas movie, everyone.
I forget the name of the case name for...
The Enfield Poltergeist.
Enfield Poltergeist, that's right. This is when the Warrens went over to England for a bad case of possession and haunting in one family unit home over there in the UK.
Yeah, like it seems very simple. It seems very simple to the case that they were going into, and it turned out to be a lot more darker than they could imagine, especially with all these different, like, ghouls and spirits and entities coming into the picture, especially, like, with the Crooked Man, the Nun.
The Nun at the beginning.
Yeah.
There's more emphasis on the Nun at the beginning of this film.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought it was going to be silly considering that the ghost is some regular old man. And, like, he has some terrifying jump scares.
Especially, definitely. Yeah, I remember, I should put this on my rewatch. It's sitting right there on my Blu-ray case.
Yeah.
On my Blu-ray shelf. Okay, it's right there. It's Conjuring 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. I have those ones. I don't have Annabelle. On Blu-ray. I have the collection.
I know Annabelle has a whole trilogy already, man.
Yeah. I don't know where they're going. I know that they're working on the new Conjuring film.
Conjuring right the Last
now,
Rites.
The Last Rites.
September 25th.
The last in the Conjuring universe, I believe. I don't know if there's any more nun or like Annabelle's to pop up in the later future.
Well, because I know this is going to be the last installment for sure. I think that's it. Mm. Because it was supposed to be a TV show for Max, but they changed that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now they're turning into kind of like Moana 2. Supposed to be a series, turning into a movie.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, they just realized the money's back in the theaters, baby. You know?
Mm-hmm. I completely forgot. Conjuring 2, it does take place during the holidays. Is the family like, is there like any type of, I forget, I gotta rewatch
this.
Is
there any significance that it is?
Significance,
Christmas?
Yeah.
They got Christmas trees up.
Okay, good.
Christmas trees are up in the Warren's house and our main protagonist's house. Mm-hmm. There are some very minor holiday music. Mm-hmm. Happening, but it is not. I don't think the season is fully embraced.
Inside's the same because it's not fully embraced. Yeah. The season you see when she's in the hospital.
Yeah,
that's it. But at the same time, like, oh wait, there's like a riot going on and stuff like that. At the same time too, and for Conjuring 2, there's more emphasis on the possession.
Yeah,
you know, the Warrens being there. See who has to be, just like a, you know, exorcism rite they have to do.
Yeah. The cold weather is emphasized.
Yeah. I know. It all culminates to like a showdown with the demon at the bowels of the house or something like, you know, where the demon dwelled. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I remember that one. And again, Vera Farmiga is amazing as.
Lorraine
Warren. Ed and Lorraine.
Yeah.
Can't think about that. You know, I knew about Ed and Lorraine way before the Conjuring movies ever came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because back when I was a kid, I rented this documentary called Fangoria Presents. Yeah, the magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
Fangoria Presents Satanism and Witchcraft. And in it, Ed and Lorraine Warren are there. You even see in the 80s what their basement looked like then.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And you see, it's not mentioned in the documentary, but when you pan around, when the camera crew pans around the museum, you see the Raggedy Ann doll in the case in the background originally. I don't know... I don't know if the family is still keeping up with that thing, though.
Yeah, no, I heard it's kind of... It's lost its charm to it because, you know, it is an old museum kind of thing. Yeah. Like it's not as awesome looking as what the movies make it out
to. Yeah. Yeah, you know, with the Annabelle doll that it had to choose because they couldn't get the rights to the Raggedy Ann doll.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. You mean the one behind you?
Who?
The Raggedy Ann doll.
That's Annabelle, too. I named her Annabelle. She walks around. You know, like Elf on the Shelf? No, we have Annabelle in the studio. There you go. But yeah, The Conjuring, man. Yeah, so I remember watching that, and I remember watching... because the film crew was with them when they did an exorcism, an actual like real life exorcism, and what they had captured on camera, and I don't know if the footage is ever. You can only watch it on VHS. This was never re-released on Blu-ray or 4K or whatever because this is old Fangoria Productions, and I do know that you can find it like on a bootleg. Because the first documentary was the Tom Savini. There's a full documentary from Fangoria about Tom Savini and all his works from his work with George Romero to at that time I think he was working on like Friday the 13th Part 4 and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and then when it went over to the next documentary, Satanism and Witchcraft, I had it and then my mom told me to throw it away. Because I was going to communion at the time, and it didn't look too good for a good Catholic Filipino boy to be watching a documentary about Satanism and witchcraft. And now I have to, all these years, I come to find out that if you had the VHS in your collection, it's worth quite a bit of money. Horrible. I think you can find like bootleg, like VHS rips on YouTube for that one too. So, anyways, we're gonna end off the show. We got like 12 minutes left. Have you ever seen Bill Murray in the now considered holiday classic, Scrooge?
I have not.
Are you familiar with the Christmas Carol story, though, about Ebenezer Scrooge being visited by ghosts on Christmas night because he's a greedy son of a bitch? Yes. You know,
I've seen various iterations. I have not seen the original source material.
There's a lot of it. I mean, the Jim Carrey one. Jim Carrey did the animated feature where he played like all of the characters.
See, I feel bad because the one movie that really kind of comes to mind that I'm very familiar with is The Ghost of Girlfriend's Past.
Horrible.
Which is, I know, a completely different movie.
That doesn't take place on Christmas. Does it take place on Christmas? I never watched it.
You know, they never say Christmas, but it is snowing. But, you know, you can always, it doesn't have to be December to snow. Welcome to America.
if you have the tolerance to watch a black and white original version of A Christmas Carol, my favorite, and it's available all over, especially in like remastered versions on YouTube. Is it Christmas? I think it's called Scrooge. It's either titled under Scrooge or A Christmas Carol, 1951. The actor has to be Alistair Sim. It's black and white. It's a classic one. It's in public domain for some dumb reason. Although there's been re-releases on DVD and Blu-ray, but companies are like, oh, well, the rights is up. You can release any version. And nowadays, with the type of software that people have, you can easily just do a transfer and then remaster the whole thing and really say, oh, it's in 1080p, but you get like a really crappy version where the audio is like, oh, is everybody talking in a wind tunnel?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, why is everybody echoing?
Because they fixed the picture, they didn't fix the sound.
What's going on in 1847 London? What happened? Oh no, wait, what happened? Is the tuberculosis? Is it a cholera epidemic? Why is everybody so poor? And why are you such an asshole? Gee whiz.
Gee whiz.
Gee whiz, Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge. So the whole idea is he's a rich man of business. Rich man of business. He does a loaning kind of deal where people like have to pay him for like certain property or whatever like that. And if they don't pay on time, he's like, you're out of here, get out of here kind of deal, right? So he's a real butthead businessman, a real jerk to the people. He doesn't care about Christmas, and you don't know why he lives his life this way. Until Christmas Eve, he's visited by the ghost of Jacob Marley, his old friend and business partner, Jacob Marley, who was an equally butthead as him. Equal buttheads. So when there were two business partners alive, there were two buttheads that everybody hated. Now there's only one, Scrooge. Yeah, yeah. So I'm trying to do like a quick rundown of Christmas Carol.
So
Jacob Marley warns him, you're gonna be visited by three ghosts. The idea for the three ghosts to visit him is that in the course of one night on Christmas Eve, from the time he goes to sleep to the time he wakes up, he is given a journey throughout his whole life, from his past to the present and to what awaits him in the future. In the chance of scaring the greed out of him and making him more of a peaceful, loving man.
Yeah.
On Christmas Day.
Just on Christmas
Just
Day.
Just on Christmas Day. Why? He's supposed to be throughout the whole year. At least from Christmas Day, go out through the whole year. He's a changed man. He has to change. He doesn't want to die the way it's prophesied that he would die.
Yeah.
You know, like an insufferable bastard that burns in hell or something. Yes. There's been so many iterations. There's musical iterations of this.
Yeah.
Of this story.
What is your favorite iteration? Is it the Bill Murray one?
No, Alistair Sim.
The original. That is Alistair your. Sim.
That is my favorite. But I love Scrooge, because where Scrooge comes in, this is why I believe that this movie, because it kind of coincided with the release of Beetlejuice. So it feels like kind of Beetlejuice-esque type, like Tim Burton without even being Tim Burton.
I get what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because just the look of it. Right?
Yeah. So you get Ghost of Christmas Past, Ghost of Christmas Present, and Ghost of Christmas Future. Mm. Ghost of Christmas Future is always the dark one. It's always telling you, oh, this is what the future may hold.
If you continue down the same path,
kind of deal. But you got, for Bill Murray Scrooge, he plays a TV executive, the top-notch TV executive for a make-believe TV company that broadcasts all over the world. Mm-hmm. All over the world. Okay? And he is a real bastard. He doesn't care what happens. You know, he wants it done right now. So, they're putting up they start out the movie with him in a board meeting with all of his executives, you know, all of the suits are there, like, show me the Scrooge promo, and it's fun loving family. Oh, you guys are gonna tune in on Christmas Eve live from the IBN studios, Scrooge live in you know, with actors and everything, right?
Right.
You know, like how they do with Grease and stuff nowadays. But He sees this happy-go-lucky promo for a holiday classic and goes, no, that sucks. Show them my promo. They put him up on the screen, and it's like, drug addiction.
No. No.
Highway killers. And like somebody jumping out of a window in the middle of the highway with a shotgun.
No.
Acid rain. You see a bunch of people freaking out. They're burning up. And like it's important to know the true meaning of Christmas. And he's like, don't miss the immortal classic Scrooge on Christmas Eve. Your life might just depend on it. Yeah. And then it's a part of the movie where it's like, some woman in the South saw your Scrooge promo and died. And he's like, yes. You can't get this kind of promotion anyplace else. And it's like, keep running it, with a disclaimer. So it shows you from that part, it's like, okay, this guy's a real butthead.
Yeah.
He's a true a-hole. Maybe there's no changing him. And it's Bill Murray is best. I feel like when you get introduced to Bill Murray, his character is called Frank Cross. Mm-hmm. That's his name. He's top exec. Okay? And he is just, I feel like, oh, this must be what Bill Murray is actually like in real life.
In real life, yeah.
Yeah. Because you hear stories about Bill Murray, like, yeah, he's actually kind of like you get introduced to these ghosts. The first ghost is played by Buster Poindexter. You might not know because he's an 80s musician and actor. At that time, and he had like a big hit called like salsa pop song, but he plays the Ghost of Christmas Ghost of Christmas Past.
Okay,
he's a New York City checkered cabbie, so he's got that cabbie mentality. Like, go back to Jersey, you moron! Kind of like real New Yorker cabbie.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But he gives off the same characterizations as Beetlejuice.
Oh,
exactly like Beetlejuice.
Just neurotic.
Very neurotic. Very like, you know, like laughing at him and
silly.
Like, and, very silly, yeah. But you know, again, the whole storyline is these ghosts are teaching Bill Murray's character Frank Cross is like, oh, at one point you were given Christmas as like, oh, this is nothing but like a fraud, this is a scam because of your upbringing, and then it leads you to a point where like, okay, but you know, at one point in the past you did like Christmas because you were in love, you had this amazing woman in your life played by what was her name now? Carrie Allen or something like that? No, I forget her name. Okay, she was in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Karen Allen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's the girlfriend.
Oh, she's in Scrooge.
She's in Scrooge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And So he shows him like you did have happiness at one time. You just got you know, seduced by corporate greed and money and fame and popularity and all that kind of BS. Then you get introduced to the Ghost of Christmas Present, which is played by Carol Kane. You know who Carol Kane is?
Wait, is this Black Christmas?
No, this is Scrooge.
Oh, no. I mean, the actress, is she from?
No, she wasn't. No, that's thinking of Andrea Martin. She was in When a Stranger Calls.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. But she also excelled in comedies too.
Okay.
So here's another thing about Scrooge. This movie is like a precursor to Home Alone, because when it came to The Ghost of Christmas Present, it was slapstick violent comedy with her. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you ever want to see what Bill Murray looks like when he gets kicked in the balls, watch Scrooge. Yeah. And the whole time while this is going on, you have your basic dramas of the other characters that are in his life, you know, the assistant that gets treated like crap, you know, and she lives poor, she lives in the barrels like Brooklyn or something like that, you know. Yeah. Barely getting by with the money that he pays her. And then you're also introduced to Bobcat Goldthwait, who is a executive that got fired. So he spends his entire like Christmas Eve to Christmas Day getting drunk and figuring out a way to exact revenge on Frank Cross. Yeah. And all comedies to an end where he shows up in the office with a shotgun.
Oh my God.
Kind of deal. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And at that point, Frank gets away, and lo and behold, goes to Christmas Future. Showing him, like, you know, what's going to happen. All the people in your life, the people that you affected, turned into you kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't want that. So, like, yeah. Great film. Directed by Richard Donner. Richard Donner of Lethal Weapon.
The original Superman,
yeah,
too, right?
That's right. Yeah, the original Superman. That's right. Yeah. Richard Donner.
Goonies.
That's right, Goonies. Yeah, yeah. And when you watch the movies, you gotta look, because he's one of those guys who's like, oh, I want to be like Hitchcock. I'll put myself in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like in Lethal Weapon, he's the, oh God, I feel like, I think he plays the chief.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Huh. That's Richard Donner. He plays the chief. Yeah. In like all Lethal Weapon films. He doesn't direct. I think he only directed the first one. And like,
that's right. That's
but he still produced all the Lethal Weapon films.
Gotcha.
By the way, Lethal Weapon,
Christmas movie.
That's right. Anyways, oh man, I just talked this into the end of the show, man. Oh man, well, that's it's it okay. For the Friday afternoon, Thursday afternoon Frights right here on the local show.
Yes.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy
Merry
holidays,
Christmas.
And don't eat all the ham. Save some for everybody else. We're out of here. Aloha.
Holly Cow Cow will offer free Christmas meals at St. Teresa Church in Kihei on Wednesday, December 25th from noon to 2 p.m. All are welcome. The church is located at 25 West Lipoa Street. For details or to volunteer, call 808-875-8754 or visit hollycowcow.org.
Saturday night at 8 and Sunday night at 9 on KAKU 88.5 FM, we experience dead air. Not that kind of dead air. We're talking Grateful Dead. Grateful Dead music for an entire hour, Saturday night at 8 and Sunday night at 9 with me, Corey Daniels, on KAKU 88.5 FM.
Five tips to keep your pets safe during fireworks season. Ensure your pet is microchipped and has ID tags on. Walk them during the day before the fireworks begin. Close windows and doors to muffle the sounds. Put on music or sounds that are soothing. Create a safe place in your home for them. If you have lost or have found a pet, call the Maui Humane Society immediately at
877-3680. Hisako Film Lab, founded by Maui-raised filmmaker Destin Daniel Cretton, is partnering with Maui Hulio Foundation to offer an after-school filmmaking program available to youth in grades 9 to 12 from all schools.
Students will work together over the spring semester to create original short films relating to the environment and sustainability. All equipment will be provided. Motivated high school students eager to elevate their skills in a project-based setting are encouraged to apply. Program dates are January 20th to April 17th. For details, visit hisakofilmlab.com.
KAKU 88.5 FM.
Gunigogo.
The voice of Maui.
The Sonic Cavern.
Featuring intelligent, eclectic music, comedy, and pop culture.
Show starts in 3 minutes.
Thank you for holding. Someone will be with you as soon as possible.
Hold. Show starts in 2 minutes.
Please continue to hold. A representative is working hard to take your call just as soon as possible.
Go start in 1 minute.
Please continue to hold.